In the Gospel of Luke, we got all the way through verse 25, I believe. Jesus had been before Pilate. I know that you remember all that. Now, he has been found innocent, and they're going to crucify him anyway. So they said, give us Barabbas instead. We want Barabbas. Barabbas, we learn, means son of the father. And we move on now. Let me read to you verses 24 and 25, kind of remind us what we've seen. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Verse 25 says, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now verse 26 tells us they led him away. He's going to be crucified. He's innocent, been found innocent. Pilate has publicly declared him innocent 3 times, publicly. But still, Jesus is going to be crucified. He is going to die for the sins of the world, for my sins, for your sins, for our sins. We are sinners. And the reason that we are sinners isn't because we've sinned. It is because we were born sinners. We are sinners by nature because we are children of Adam. I know it's hard to understand, but the truth is, Adam and Eve sinned, and there was a separation from God. We call it the fall of man. The curse entered in at that point, and when we were born, every one of us, no matter what day or what year, it's different for probably each one of us. The truth is, we were born into this nature that is a sin nature. You would begin to sin as soon as you were able because you're a sinner. So am I. You didn't teach your children to be selfish. You had to begin to teach them to not be selfish because it was born in there. You had to teach them to say the word mine. From then on, they knew how to use it in a complete sentence. Mine! There it was. Speaking complete sentences at a year and a half, right? You know, the Bible, nowhere, you don't find that Jesus fell while carrying his cross. As you read through it, tradition says that he fell 3 times, at least 3 times. But he was so weak from the loss of blood, from the beatings, from going through the night and the abuse that he had been through, obviously he didn't have the strength to carry this cross beam. And so they grab somebody out of the crowd, this man named Simon, a Cyrenian. Cyrene is a city or a town, really. Was a town in North Africa. So it is true that, yes, this man probably was a black man. And he carried the cross of Jesus. And, of course, Jesus walked on ahead. Simon, then, was forced. What did Jesus tell us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7? Well, they're in Matthew. Jesus said, when someone compels you to go 1 mile with them, go with them. To compel you, a Roman soldier could take his spear and tap you on the shoulder. You were now conscripted. That's it. You were now forced. Compelled is a military term. You are forced. For 1 mile, you were forced to go. You had no choice. Once they tap Simon on the shoulder, you tap him on the shoulder. He has got to do this. He has no choice for at least 1 mile. Then he could drop it and say, I'm not carrying any further. I've done my mile. Of course, Jesus taught us that's not the attitude. Someone forces you to go 1 mile, you go 2. Why? Showing them that I want to serve. You're not forcing me to do this. This is what I want to do for you. Right? Well, there's Simon carrying the cross. And there followed him, verse 27, Simon, Jesus is who we're referring to. There followed him a great company of people, large crowds, and a lot of women were there, which also were crying and lamenting. They were sorry for him. They felt pity for this man, Jesus. They bewailed and they lamented him. But Jesus, in verse 28, turning to the women, he said this to the ladies that were crying, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Now stop right there before we go any further. Jesus does not want my sympathy. He doesn't want your sympathy. People say, when I think about Jesus carrying the cross, I feel so sorry for him. That's not what he's doing this for. He doesn't need, nor does he expect, nor does he want our pity. He is doing this by choice. I want to do this for you. I want to go to the cross. I want to die. It brings glory to my Father, and you will then be able to spend eternity with me. All you'd have to do is just say yes. He says, don't weep for me, ladies. That's not what you weep for yourself. If you feel the need to cry and weep, you need to weep for yourselves. You know, think about this. If people refuse the salvation that God offers through His Son Jesus Christ, if you refuse it, if I refuse, if people refuse that salvation that's freely offered through Jesus Christ, then what they must endure is His wrath, His anger. If you refuse the free salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ, then what you will experience is His wrath upon a world, upon people who reject His free gift of His Son, of eternal life through His Son. So He says to these ladies, don't weep for me. You need to weep for yourselves. You have rejected God's offer for salvation. Now what's coming upon you is His wrath. Don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves. That's interesting. But he goes on, he says, you know, behold, the days, verse 29, are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren. Oh, how happy are those that don't have children. And the wombs that have never borne children. And the paps that never gave suck. It will be, there's coming a time when it will be so much better to not bring children into this world, Jesus says. Interesting, wouldn't you think? Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Where did you see them say that? Have you ever seen anybody yell that before in Scripture? Does anybody recognize that quote? It comes out of the book of Revelation. During the great tribulation period, what are the people going to cry out? To the mountains and to the rocks. Fall on us. Kill us. Destroy us. Save us from the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus says, oh my goodness. You've rejected God's free gift of salvation. Weep for yourselves. Wrath is coming upon you for this. If they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Jesus Christ was right there with them. They had a choice. They rejected Him. Jesus says, it's going to get bad. Weep for yourselves. And there were also two other malefactors, prisoners, led with Him to be put to death. When they would come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, Jesus, and the malefactors, one at His right hand, one at His left. Jesus was in the center, and there was a thief crucified on either side of Him, to the right and to the left. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, prophesies that. You see that He's going to be numbered among transgressors. He's right in the middle cross of three people that are crucified. He's the center when He is innocent, yet both of the people on either side of Him deserve to be put to death, have done crimes that they should be put to death, and are now being put to death for those crimes. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore will I divide Him, the Messiah, portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now you're going to see Him in a moment. Just a second. Pray for them. Pray for the people that are nailing Him to the cross. The people that are making fun of Him. People that are dividing His clothes. Playing, you know, throwing dice, casting lots. Playing games at the foot of the cross. Jesus says in verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't realize what they're doing. Look at him on the cross. Now, you and I would have been on the cross. I'd have been quoting right out of the Psalms. Break their teeth out, Lord. Kill them. Kill all their children. Kill their grandchildren. Kill the kids they haven't even had yet. Get them. You wouldn't have said that because you're so kind. When people are nailing you to things, you go, oh, it's all right. Not you. But Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they were playing games at the foot of the cross like I see a lot of Christians today doing. Some of them, probably we're all guilty at times of playing games with this whole thing instead of loving and serving. And you see, remember Isaiah 53:12? He was numbered with the transgressors, bears sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Remember, that was a long time, near 800 years before Jesus was even born, that Isaiah wrote this down, that he would be crucified among sinners and would even be praying for the sinners. And he did. People today say, this Jesus, I think this is a bunch of garbage. I don't believe he was a nice guy. I don't believe he was the Son of God. I don't even want to hear about Jesus. Just don't even talk to me about him. I'm not interested. And you think, you know something? He is so interested in you. He has already paid the price if you are willing to come. He loves you so much that while you and I, he loves us all, that while we were yet sinners, we were still sinning full speed, 100%, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of his, he loved us and gave himself for us. And he says, but weep for yourselves, because if you reject the Son of the living God, then what you get is the wrath of the living God. His wrath is coming, going to be poured out on this world that has rejected Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father. Well, let's see. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, throwing dice, casting lots. They're playing games at the foot of the cross. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him. They didn't divide him. They derided him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen of God. He saved others. Come on down off the cross. Save yourself. Now, I'm glad that Jesus didn't do that, because I think you know, I think it goes without saying, if he had chosen to come down off the cross, he could have. Could have hopped right down and said, I don't like this. Changed my mind. Forget it. Spoken the word and they would have all been dead. Instead, he stayed on the cross. Had he come down from the cross, you and I could never get into the presence of the Father. We would not have eternal life. We would be eternally separated from God. So Jesus chose, by choice, to stay there on the cross, to obey his Father. And the soldiers started making fun of him in verse 36. And they came to him, they offered him vinegar. They were just making fun of him. If you be the King of the Jews, save yourself, verse 37 says. 38, and the superscription also was written over him, above his head, in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. If you want to see the entire thing that was written, you got to look at all four Gospels. But the idea is here. There was something written over his head. King of the Jews, written in three languages. Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Greek was the language of the common people. That was the language spoken throughout the Gentile world. Greek. Latin was the language of the law. The Romans used Latin when they would write the laws and when they would have their official meetings. Latin was the law, the language that was used. So it was written in a common language that everybody spoke. It was written in the legal language that everybody had to sort of know. And it was also written in Hebrew, which was the holy language, the language of the people of God themselves, people of the Jew, or the Jewish people. So Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And one of the malefactors, one of the sinners, one of the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him. Now we learn from the other Gospels, both of them at first began to rail on him, yell at him and say, yes, save yourself. And by the way, save us with you. If you've got that kind of power, if you think you're something, then save us both. Get us off of here. If you be the Messiah, save yourself and us. But after a while, one of them, his tune changed. Something happened on that cross. They hung there from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, 6 hours. And after a few hours of being that close to Jesus, of listening to Jesus, of watching everything that was going on, especially around noon when it got dark, and it wasn't this eclipse kind of dark, it got dark, something was going on. One of these thieves had a change of heart. The other one answered and rebuked his friend, or whoever the other one was. He says, "Don't you fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation?" Verse 41 says, "We indeed deserve this justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Now this thief has never met Jesus that we know of. No recorded meeting anywhere. He's been in jail for a long time. So the only time that he's met with Jesus and dealt with him has been where? Yeah, they hung on crosses next to one another for 6 hours. Being close to Jesus for that many hours, this man was converted. He never saw the miracles that Jesus did. Probably heard about them. He never saw Jesus raise the dead or heal the lepers or give sight to the blind. But there he is, being close to Jesus, just watching Jesus die. This man was changed for eternity. Isn't that interesting? I'm telling you right now, and I know this to be true about you and me and everyone out there, even the ones you think will never get saved. This I know. The Bible says that the devil has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so they can't see. I'm telling you, if you could see Jesus for who he really is, just for a moment, you would be born again. You would ask him into your heart. If you could just see who he really is. The thief on the cross, after first started making fun of Jesus too, but after a while says, hey guy, lay off him. We deserve this and we're dying and we're getting what we deserve, but this guy's innocent. How do you know? Well, look at him. Listen to him. He is innocent. Leave him alone. Shut up. If you're allowed to say that. Hush. He said to Jesus in verse 42, "Lord," he calls him Lord now, "remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus says something that ruins many doctrines of today that are being taught. He ruins it. He just ruins it for all of us. Look what he says. "You get off the cross and be baptized, and I'll think about it." Oh, is that what your Bible says? I'm sorry. Did I misquote that a little bit? Just a hair. "Go give money to the poor, I'll wait here." What does it say? Truly. In other words, this is a fact, my friend. I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. But he didn't say it to the other guy. What's the difference? Both of them were thieves. Both of them were guilty. Both of them, that means they were sinners and deserved punishment and death. But one of them did not see eternal suffering and one of them did. What's the difference between the two? One of them gave his heart to Jesus. It's the only difference. So anytime you walk out of here and start telling those people out there, you need to be born again, you got to be this first, you got to be that, you got to stop this, you got to buy three of those, you've missed it. You've added something now onto the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is complete in Jesus Christ alone. Nothing that I do. Nothing. Should I be baptized? I think so. As a symbol of, that's a public confession of what has taken place in my heart. But baptism will never get me to heaven. Water won't do it. No matter how many times you're dunked. They can hold you down till the bubbles quit. It won't matter. That's what we do to some that are really but it won't matter. You see, it's by grace. Today you will be with me in paradise. But he said it to a man who was a sinner, who deserved to die, and who was physically dying right there on the spot. Who had no time to run down and change it, apologize, confess everything he's ever done. He had no time to go back and make it right with his wife. Sorry about the, you know, when the last time I saw you before I went to prison, the things I did. He didn't have time to apologize to his children or to try and explain to them why he... No, all he had time to do was go ahead and die. But he was saved today. You'll truly be with me in paradise today. It was about the sixth hour, we read. There was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, from noon to three in the afternoon. And it's a darkness that we don't understand. And so scientists tell you, well, it had to be a super eclipse and had to be, you know, what it had to be was a darkness. That's what it had to be, because that's what it is. It's a darkness that is unexplainable, no matter how you scientifically try to draw it. It's unexplainable. And something is going on in the spiritual realm that I am not convinced we will ever get a grasp of. What went on when the Father turned away and Jesus yelled out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What on the earth? What in the spiritual? What took place? We don't know. That's something that we can't fathom. But it went on, and it was dark. And a man got saved by just, and I don't mean this to be crude, but hanging out with Jesus. Just being near Jesus, he became a Christian. Now, you see why Paul and Peter and James and John write to us and say, just act like Jesus. Just give them Jesus. Just let them see Jesus. Say, I don't know how to witness. That's easy. You don't have to say a word. Just let them see Jesus. If they see him, they will say, Lord, remember me. I believe. Well, sun was darkened. The veil of the temple was torn in the midst. We've learned through our studies through the Old Testament and the New that that veil would represent Jesus Christ. As you look in the temple, everything points to Jesus. You'll see the veil represents Jesus. And the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. God tore it. God allowed his son to be killed. They couldn't have killed Jesus otherwise. They couldn't have even arrested him. Jesus said, you're not doing this. I'm doing it. I give my life. You're not taking it. And he was torn. He was bruised. He was pierced for our transgressions. The veil was torn, and so it's through Jesus Christ we can enter into the Father. The only way into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of the living God, is through the torn veil, is through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary on the cross. It's the only way. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, verse 46 says, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What did he cry with a loud voice? John tells us. He cried, it is finished. Tetelestai. You can also translate that paid in full. Now listen, if it is finished, which is what he cried out, then it's finished. You can add nothing to it. For you to add something to it, for me to add something to it, takes away from what he just did. It is by grace. We know we don't deserve it, and so we try to put things to it and to add things to it, but it is by grace. Have you ever just said, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I want to be with you. You say that to the Lord, you know what he'll say to you? You're with me today. Right now, you're with me. Now let's walk together. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. We all die. If you've been around someone that's died, you see them fight to hold on to that spirit. But you'll see Jesus Christ had the power to give it up. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. We also read his words in other gospels. He says, truly, this was the Son of God. I think the centurion was born again. Why? Again, he's been around Jesus for the last hours. And remember, he didn't see these miracles. He just saw Jesus being beaten and abused and how Jesus dealt with it. And he listened to the things Jesus had to say on the cross. And from that and that alone, he became a Christian. All the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Verse 49, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood far off, beholding these things. There are many, many witnesses recognizing and realizing Jesus Christ is now dead. His physical body. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the council and the deed of them. All right, an American, he's part of the Sanhedrin, and when they voted to crucify Jesus, we know it wasn't unanimous. Joseph voted against it. He didn't consent with them. He was against the majority. That made him stand out as a believer. So now the Sanhedrin knows what he's all about. But he comes out anyway. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took him down. We also learned Nicodemus helped. Wrapped in linen, laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid, as the King James says. No person had ever been buried there. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. That means that, you know, the feast is coming. They had to hurry. There was no time to do this correctly. Jesus said that lady that broke the out, that was Mary of Bethany, who broke the alabaster box, poured that ointment on him. The disciples complained. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's preparing me for my burial. Jesus knew they're not going to have time when it takes place, because I will die at the time of the sacrifice of the lamb, the Passover lamb. The day of the preparation, that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. They recognized it wasn't properly done, it wasn't finished. And they returned, went back to their place, prepared spices and ointments, and of course they had to rest on the Sabbath according to the law. According to the commandment. So they could see it wasn't properly done. It wasn't finished. So they determined, all right, we'll go home. We'll get the spices and all the stuff together. After the Sabbath, we'll come back and we'll finish it properly. That was the plan. They wasted all those spices, by the way. Jesus rose from the dead. Have you ever given your heart to Jesus Christ? I mean, given your heart to the Lord. Just like the thief who says, Lord. He didn't know what to say. He didn't even know how to begin. What did he say? Lord, remember me. I don't even know what to say. I'm not asking you to get me off the cross anymore. I deserve this. I am a sinner. But remember me. Have you ever cried out to Jesus and just simply said, I'm a sinner. Lord, would you think about me? Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? What would Jesus say to you if you said simple words like that? You're mine. That's what he'd say. You're with me. You're with me today. And from here on through eternity. It's free. You don't have to get down and go atone for those sins. Why? Because Jesus did. You go back, and I've had guys try this and girls. Well, I did this and this and this when I was young, and so what I try to do is go back and correct it. And they made such a mess out of everything. It was worse. They go, now what do I do? Now I'm in big trouble and the law's after me. Leave it alone. Jesus Christ has paid the price. Now, if the Lord has you and you come to him and he has you go and apologize to so-and-so for spitting in their eye, that's wisdom. Then if God says you need to make this right, go make the right. But, you know, there's this teaching that you've got to go and fix every sin you ever did. You realize we'd all be gone. We'd never come back to church because we'd be too busy trying to find all those people we stepped on. And lied to and cheated and all those things. Are you crazy? We'd never make it. Jesus said, it is finished. I don't know how you interpret that or what that means in your head. But, I mean, when you're running a race and the finish line tape is broken, it's over. It is finished. There is nothing more you can do about it. Jesus said, it's finished. It's paid for. You either say, thank you very much, or I don't care. There are your two choices. I know many who are saying, I don't care. Why? Because they've never seen Jesus. And they've never spent any time near him. So you, as a Christian, are saying, I am a Christian. Meaning, I am one of Christ's ones. Or literally, I am Christ-like. So let them see Christ in you. Jesus Christ in you. Let them see Jesus. They'll want him. They see him. We're going to bow our heads now. They're going to bring to you this tiny little piece of bread and this cup. hold the bread and hold the cup. We'll take the bread together. We'll take the cup together. As they hand this out to you, just hold on and just open your heart to the Lord. And let God speak to your heart, or confess to the Lord. If you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, Lord, remember me, then now's the time. Take this time before this bread and this cup come along. Let's bow our heads.